Thanks for joining me today on our last podcast of the year. And Wayne Scanlon, Ken Warren, I guess we'll just get your general thoughts on the post-mortem day here at Scotiabank Place.
Well, I guess now that everything's been done, nobody's completely surprised, at least with Corey Kluson being fired. The fact that Brian Murray is back, you could toss that one around both ways. I think he salvaged his job in the last 15, 20 games of the year ever since the trade deadline.
Yeah, pretty eventful day, I guess, considering that, you know, it's not unusual for the coach to be fired and then you don't see his face again. So for the coach to show up here 2 days later, hold his head high, and thank people in the organization for giving him the opportunity, I thought that was very classy. Brian Murray basically went over the season, I guess, and talked about why the coach would not be back. But it was the worst-kept secret in town, of course, that that the coach wasn't coming back. And he admitted that he had made up his mind quite some time ago. And then I think after that, what was interesting was some of the player reaction. You got a sense, especially from the veteran players like Jason Spezza and Daniel Alfredson, that this move was really necessary. They, in so many words, they said, you know, the coach did as best he could, but you got the sense that they wanted someone that had a different feel for it and worked with the players better. Maybe didn't quite say they want a more experienced guy, but someone with more personal skills and someone that's going to respect the players more.
Would you say, Ken, that one of the most telling, I guess, statements of the day was Jason Spezza saying, you know, players can always improve, but coaches can too, yeah. And in the communication area, that might be something he needs to work on.
Yeah, and the players sometimes is what players don't say. They sort of go around questions and don't quite answer, but I thought that was fairly direct. And I don't think nobody's going to say terrible things about Corey Kluson. Nobody works harder. X's and O's, the guy understands the game better than anybody, but sometimes it's as much about managing as it is coaching, and it's finding ways to fit. Brian Murray addressed that as well. Sometimes it's making players feel important, and not everybody feels important in the same way. And you know, some guys you have to pat on the back. Some guys you have to push a little bit harder, but it's knowing how each guy ticks. And I think that in the end, that's probably, we heard about it with the Kovalevs and with the Jarkko Ruotus and Chris Campolis from time to time. But some of the younger guys, too, never seem to get over the hump. You know, you think of Peter Regan and Nick Foligno, and those guys didn't perhaps develop as much as they might have.
And we heard about it from a guy named Danny Heatley, right, where this all started a couple of years ago.
And, I mean, so what do you make of that, Wayne? You mentioned it before. I mean, is that maybe a telling sign of where we are right now?
Well, it is a little bit. I mean, I know there were people in the room there that kind of wanted to ask Brian that question because he made that call, right? You back the coach or you back your star player. He backed the coach on that one. It seemed like the right thing at the time. He received a lot of community support for that. But, you know, how did that turn out? They didn't get much back in return. They got a coach that, well, I guess compared to some of the other coaches, this is kind of an extended run. He got a couple of years, but obviously was not the coach of the future and not the coach to deliver a competitive team. So it didn't turn out well at all.
Go back to Kluson's presser for a second. He mentioned that he's already received a couple calls about coaching jobs. Was coming out and being a good soldier today, maybe good PR for someone too who might be looking for work?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, as Wayne mentioned, I think he was very quite gracious. I mean, he defended his record and said, you know, injuries and goaltending and all that is very accurate. Those things were something he couldn't control. If you have goaltending, a lot of this stuff gets painted over and
like
cracks, right? Yeah, and I think, honestly, you see what Craig Anderson did, and a lot of this winning in the last month and a half of the season was Craig Anderson alone. You know, he's going to defend himself and put himself out there and say he's not a guy that's going to sit in the weeds and not want to coach. Corey Kluson's a coach, and whether he has to go back to the Western Hockey League again and start over in a way, that may be the route he takes.
You're 40 years old and you're just coming off your first NHL gig and didn't last as long as you'd like it to. You want to take the high road. You don't want to burn any bridges because people are watching how you perform. Hockey's a pretty tightly knit family. If he were to, you know, say bad things about Brian Murray or the organization, you know, that would not help his career out.
If you rewind and saying, you know, he's thanking the organization for giving him an opportunity. I mean, who in the world had heard of Corey Kluson 2 years ago, mm-hmm. when he got his chance? And you know, you can say he made the most of it in the short term. He made the most of it and got himself another contract extension. So without that opportunity, he may still be a minor league coach. So having had the opportunity up here, maybe he did say that when somebody asked, what have you learned, he said, we could be here all week. And so he's acknowledging that there are some things that he obviously would do over again.
Interesting, though, that he didn't talk about communication or relations with players as one of the areas he needed to work on. I mean, that he basically looked past that and therefore is not sort of agreeing with what some other people are saying, including, you know, Jason Spezza.
Or he chose to gloss over that.
Right,
and
which is kind of what Brian Murray did, too. But, I mean, if you read between the lines with him and take at face value what the players were saying, that was obviously a big problem. But just to play devil's advocate a little, Corey Kluson probably doesn't look like as poor of a coach this season if Brian Elliott isn't a starting goalie every game.
Absolutely. I mean, goaltending, like I said, if you have a goalie, I mean, you can go back to the Dominic Hasek days in Buffalo. If you have a goalie, you don't need an outstanding team.
Or the Ryan Miller days in Buffalo.
it's quite amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It's quite amazing, guys. You know, if a goaltender is there, and it's not just so if a goaltender goes in a bit of a role, players are looser around him. That's what you see how these guys have played. I know it was largely meaningless the run the Senators had at the end, but guys are looser. They're not afraid of every mistake they make ending up in the back of the net. If the goalie makes a big save, and it's a motivational thing for them as well. So, absolutely, I agree that Kluston's a victim of goaltending as well as injuries.
Yeah. The next coach is going to be a lot smarter by virtue of having Craig Anderson in goal instead of Brian Elliott or
Brian
Pascal
Murray
Leclerc.
Will look a lot smarter too, probably.
Well, I think the Anderson signing may have saved Murray. And then yep. You look in the big picture, you've got a goalie now going forward that you think can you steal you some games.
Now, we don't know where Corey Kluson's going to end up, but we do know there's an open job here. So, you know, we've talked about some of the candidates, and one of the leading guys we keep hearing about is Dave Cameron, but would it be a mistake to go with a guy who has basically a mostly junior experience, a little stint in the AHL, but a junior guy who maybe we would have the same kind of difficulties in managing the big personalities that come with a club like this?
I think he's going to be talked to. I don't know that he's really a leading candidate. It's easy to throw his name out there because Eugene Melnyk spoke so highly of him over the past week, but I think Brian Murray's going to interview a more complete list of candidates, and I really get the sense it's going to be someone that's got some NHL experience.
Certainly won't hire the coach until you interview Dave Cameron, and that can't be done until the end of May because they're in the Memorial Cup. So anybody waiting for this to happen tomorrow, it's not.
If he wants to give Kleinendorf a good look too, I mean, they still have playoffs to get into as well.
I'm sure, you know, as teams get eliminated from the NHL playoffs here, whether guys are head coaches or assistant coaches and there's jobs, these guys are going to get looks and opportunities. But again, I think, you know, whether it's in fairness to Eugene Melnyk or in fairness to the guy who's a national junior coach, you do have to look at Dave Cameron and, you know, see what he has to say. And maybe Dave Cameron doesn't want to come in here. Nobody's, you know, he's not going to talk about it while he's coaching a junior team. Maybe he wants more time. Maybe he wants to come in as an assistant in the NHL before a head coach. Who knows, right? You don't know what his motivation is, too.
I know I sat in the stands with Brian a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, we were just kind of kicking around some names. And when we talked about Kleinendorf and the job that he's done with the Binghamton Senators, he said he's a guy that would have to be considered. I know it's easy to say you can't do that because that's what you did the last time in bringing in Corey Kluson. But with the job that he has done, and he is a guy that seems to really connect with players and get players to play for him, I think he has to at least get an interview.
Well, he's going
to
know half the players in the roster.
Well, that's the other thing.
You have all these guys.
Huge.
I mean, how many of these guys that just got sent back down to Binghamton are going to be with the team next year?
And
seven or eight of them?
Something that jumped out with me when I was down in Binghamton about Kleinendorf is he was talking about sort of who his idea of good coaches are, and he talked about Dan Bylsma in Pittsburgh and how he's a master at managing people rather than the game. You know, he
right.
said the game is simple when you get down to the nuts and bolts, but it's learning how to get the most out of your players. So isn't that exactly what they need here?
It's funny that he would mention Bylsma because Brian was talking about Bylsma when I was talking to him that day about coaches, and he said the exact same thing, that this is a guy with great personal skills, Brian knew him in Anaheim because he was a player in Anaheim when Brian was there, and talked about him as being almost an ideal in terms of player relations.
Well, it's, you know, and like you say, coaching, there's a right way and a wrong way to play. They can all do the strategy, but, you know, when you're plugging a square peg into a round hole, sometimes it doesn't fit, and sometimes maybe you have to adjust your idea of what that position is depending on the player. And maybe, one example is maybe Jason Spetz is a better player because late in the season they let the ropes off and let him sort of dictate what he was going to be himself. And is that managing? Is allowing a player, maybe giving a player some responsibility on what he can do as a leader? So
he also had the run of the room, I would think.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
More asked of him, and kill penalties and do what you want out there, and it's not Hoffy's team anymore. At least it wasn't in the final weeks of the season.
And a coach almost needs his diplomats in the room, right? If you need to get your guys like that behind you, because
they
do almost carry more weight in a lot of situations.
Well, it goes back to the Danny Heatley thing, right?
Yeah.
And if he felt he wasn't part of it, then it doesn't matter whether the player is right or not, because that's going to have an impact on your whole room.
And that's what I'm hearing about Kleinendorf, is that he really does have those guys in the room that represent his message and bring it forth without it having to come from the coach's mouth.
So, last question of the day. And it's, we're 6-7 months away. Is this team going to be better or worse next year?
I don't think it can be worse. I think just because the hole they dug for themselves. But I don't think we can automatically assume it's going to be a playoff team. I think it's going to be up in the standings a bit, but it's going to be right on the bubble, I would think, for trying to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and I think if Craig Anderson can be close to the goal that he was late in the season, then absolutely they have a shot at fighting for a playoff spot. But you're right, there's a lot of ifs, and I think people tend to maybe make too much out of this last stretch and the guys that came up because they had nothing to lose. But a lot of questions. Daniel Alfredson, where is he going to be next year? Is he here? Is he healthy? And how much room does he take up in that room? So, again, I think they're a long shot right now to make the playoffs next year. But it is going to depend on what Murray can do in the summer in terms of, he keeps saying he wants that top six forward to come in here, whether he can find them by trade or free agency. That's going to have an impact too.
And it depends on whether or not their draft pick is ready as well, I guess. All right, guys, thanks a lot for another season, and have a great summer.
Take care. See you next fall.